think a little bit about God's authority. And we can look at the time in which God, when Moses saw the burning bush, and he stopped at the burning bush, and God told him that he is to go talk to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh at that point was the most powerful man on earth, because Egypt was the most powerful nation on earth at that time. And Moses said, how can I go to Pharaoh? Who am I to tell that sent me? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. So as we look at the authority structure, we see that it starts with God, who is the ultimate authority in everything in the universe. He made everything. So we see God as the authority structure, but God has also given authority structures that all of us are under. We have four authority structures that pretty much everything fits into. We have the church as authority structure. We have the government, we have family, and we have business. And all of these fit together somewhat, but as we look at the Word of God, we can see that these are authority structures that God has designed for the welfare of human beings. So I'd like to think just a little bit on the what God has to say in the Bible about the authority structure of the church. And I'd like to look at Hebrews 13:7. Which says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And this is simply telling us that there are those in the church that have the rule over us. Now, if we look at authority structures, we can see that in authority structures, the people at the top of the authority structure get to benefit from all the people below them. If we have a government, especially a government in which we have a king, the king gets to tax everyone below him. He gets to tell everyone below him what to do. The one difference about the church than all other authority structures is the church is an authority structure that is turned upside down. What I mean by that, the head of the church is Jesus, and instead of Jesus taxing everyone in the church, Jesus died for the church. So if we look at the authority structure of the church, we see that the people that are part of the church, while the church is a source of authority, that God has placed authority in the church and giving the church the right to exercise authority, yet as we look at the authority of the church, we see that the authority of the church requires those who are in authority to give rather than to tax like the government might do, or in a case of a business, someone owns a business, they are the authority in the business. Everyone works under in that business. Their duty in the business is to make money for the owner. They want to make money for themselves too, but the goal is to make money for the owner. But if we look at the authority of the church, we see that the church, those who are called into the work of the church, are to give of themselves for the welfare of the church. There is some responsibility and authority that comes with that, but the goal is that they give. I'd like to read some verses in Matthew 20 that spells that out a little more. Matthew 20, starting to read at verse 25. Well, this goes back, it speaks of the time in which we have the Zebedee's children coming to Jesus and wanting to sit one on the right hand and one on the left. And in verse 25, Jesus called them and said unto him, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. That's the way in which government works. Jesus is telling us how government works. The people that are in power, they have authority, and they exercise authority as it is given to them. But it shall not be so among you. Jesus is now talking to his disciples, which are the church. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. What this is telling us is that in the work of the church, as you advance in the church, what you get is other people's problems. Because as you advance in the authority of the church, Jesus said you are to be a minister. You are to help other people with their needs. And so as we look at the way the church is structured, Jesus, he was willing to die for all of us, give up completely of himself for the welfare of the church. Now, as we look at the call of the church, the call of the church is that you are willing to give up of yourself for the welfare of the church. And the more that God uses you, the more you give up of yourself for the welfare of the church. So it is our duty, if we're going to be like Christ, we are going to give up of ourselves for the welfare of others. Exactly opposite of other authority structures. But this is the way God ordained. He ordained that as we do that, God is promising us, and in another place it promises us a hundredfold reward for whatever we give up. For the sake of the church, he's saying we'll be blessed abundantly. But that is the authority structure of the church, that we are to give up of ourselves for the welfare of the church. I doubt if your bishop has the power to tax each of you for so that he can live a real good life on the money that he collects off of you. That's just not the way the church works. The church works on the basis that we are ready to give up of ourselves for the welfare of others. It is important in all authority structures. All authority structures begin with God. And we see that God says that he is in control of He's in control of the governments of the earth. The Bible talks about that in various times, that God's in control of the government. And obviously, God is in control of the church. He is the authority. And as we look at the way the authority structure of the church is set up, we realize that in any organization, for it to function well, there needs to be one person that's at the head of that. And that is why in our church structures, most of our churches are organized with a bishop being that one person. But as the Bible clearly teaches, that does not put that person on top of the pow. That makes him the servant of all. Once at an ordination, one of our ordinations, the bishop that was speaking said that all of us are servants of God. The ministers are the servants of the servants. And the bishops are the servants of the ministers. So they're the servants of the servants of the servants of God. That's the way the church structure works. So but there is authority with it. I don't want to undercut the authority. There is authority that comes. God gives authority to those who are willing to give up of themselves and in the proper way serve the church. So we do have the authority which gives the church the authority to in uh, In one place, Jesus said to bind on earth and in heaven. There's authority that goes with it. We need to understand that all authority comes from God, and it is only as we submit to all the authority that is over us that we have authority. If we find ourselves out of tune with the authority that's over us, we undercut our own authority. So if we want to have authority to do anything in the church, the important thing is that we are operating clearly under the authority that's over us. And all of us have authority over us. Even the bishops have authority over them. God is their authority. And in many cases, the authority of the bishop is also backed by the other bishops in which they work together. There's authority structure. And if we wish to have authority, it is very important that we are in subjection to the authority that's over us, because all authority comes from God. I'd like to go on a little bit more to government. If we look at the authority structures, we see that in some cases they're side by side, in some cases they come under each other, but we see that there is a distinction between church authority and government authority. It's a different authority completely. If we look at the Old Testament times, we see that there was a commingling of church and government authority. But it is interesting to note that in the Old Testament times, the kings of Israel and Judah, very seldom did God speak to them directly. He did a few times. He came to Solomon in a dream. But in most cases, when God spoke to the kings, which were the government authority of Israel, he spoke to them through a prophet, which was the authority on God's kingdom, not exactly the church at that point. But we have, if we go through the Old Testament, we can see both authority structures that were coexisting side by side, but God would use the authority of the prophets to come and speak to the kings to give them the spiritual authority through a little different structure than what we had the government authority. When we come to the New Testament, we see that the church and the government is separate authority. Jesus teaches in various places, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking at what the Bible says about the two different authorities, but it is clearly spelled out in the New Testament that the church and the government are to be separate authorities. That if we want to belong to the church, we are to stay out of government authority. We are not to be part of the government, because the government and the church have different goals. The church's goal is to get people into a relationship with Christ, to get under God's spiritual authority. The government's role is, of course, to create a government in which people function together using force. And so we have a distinction between church and government, and the New Testament teaches that they are separate entities. We do not have the combined entity in the New Testament church that what we had in the Old Testament times, in which we had the children of Israel, who had both the authority of the kingdom of God and government in their time. I'd like to look at some Bible references that speak to the authority of the government. 1 Timothy 2:2. Like to read verses 1 and 2. I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That gives us the benefit that we have of a government that is a good and proper government. And sometimes, I don't know how much you follow the news, but we're living in a time right now in which there is a lot of riots against police forces. And it is a little bit alarming because the police force is finally the government's authority on the people's level. And if you look at the demonstrations against police, it is an anti-authority movement. Now, I don't know. I suppose some of the things the police did were right, were probably not quite right. But the police are under authority. And if the police are following their training, if they are doing the authority that they, if they are operating by the authority that they have been given, then they're doing what's right. If the police is going outside the authority that has been given him, of course he is guilty. He loses his authority at any time in which he does things that are against the training and authority that he has been given. If he goes outside of that, of course he's in a position where he is guilty. If we look at the situations, if a police shoots someone that is outside where he acts differently than what the authority given to him, then of course he's guilty for not being under authority. But if he is following the authority that has been vested in him by the job he has taken, then he of course is innocent of whatever the outcome of the situation may be if he followed the steps that were given. And that is where some of the problems are coming in which some of these police are taken and tried in court, in which a jury gets to determine if the police followed the steps that he was trained to take, or did he act outside of the authority that's given to him. In all the cases that are currently being protested, when the jury looked at the police, what the police had been taught to do, the authority given to him, the jury said he was acting within that authority and setting free. Now we have people protesting because of the outcome of what the police happened. They are therefore defying the authority of the government. But so we need to be careful in how we view government, because God says the government's there for our benefit. And today we have a movement in America that could get out of hand. What happens is it begins to weaken the authority of government when people feel the right to defy government, especially for police, that are in the cities today, there to maintain order. If the general consensus of the people is that the police do not have proper authority, that takes away their ability to maintain order. So it's something that we should be praying about, because if the government loses its authority, then we revert to where some other countries are, in which everything's corruption. If you read about other countries and how they operate, in which the police are corrupt and so on, it's an entire different world of what we know. We should be very thankful for the authority that we have, the government authority that we have, because our government, while not perfect, is still one of the best in the world. And so as we read about the unrest in the cities today, it is a source of concern to us, because it could eventually threaten the quiet and peaceable life that most of us have known. Going to some other scriptures, Romans 13 gives a number of verses in relating to government. Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist them shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Stop reading there, but we have a common scripture in which we look to look at our responsibility to the government. We have a separation of church and state, and sometimes we get the idea that we just want to steer clear of government. We want nothing to do with them. And while it is important that we do not take part of the authority structure in rising in authority, because the head of the government is different goals than what the church has, but we need to recognize that we need to be subject to the government because we are living under the government, and so we need to be subject to it. And we can be fairly quick to criticize the government sometimes, but we need to remember that when this was written, when the Roman government was in authority, and the Roman government was probably not as good a government as what we have here in the United States. It speaks in the beginning of these verses about God setting up government. The government's authority are there because of God. So today we have a president in the White House that sometimes we can get to branding him a liberal. And that's possibly right, but we need to recognize that the government is an authority structure ordained by God. And we need to give reverence to the authority structure that's there, even though we recognize that God's authority is above that. And in the places in which our president may be going against the word of God in some of his rulings, we need to recognize that he's responsible to God for that. And the principles of right or wrong, the more that he upholds them, the more that God blesses them. But we do not have the right to work against the government. God tells us in his word that we're to be submissive to the government we're under. It doesn't say if that government does everything the way we think it ought to be done. It simply says that we're to be submissive to the government as much as we can without going against the word of God, because God is a higher authority. So the principles of right or wrong that are in God's word means that we do not go against the principles of God's word to obey the government. An example of that would be in New York State a month or two ago, there was a man that had rented out places for weddings. And there was a gay couple wanted to rent his place to use it for a wedding. And he refused. And until it was all done, he was sued for that. But because he was standing up, even though the government has given, not in Pennsylvania, I don't think in Pennsylvania yet at this point, in New York, the government said it was legal. He said, God's word says it's not. I won't do it. I respect the man. He suffered loss he eventually gave up his business because of the lawsuits that were against him. But he said it's not right. I won't permit it. So in situations where God's word is, where the authority of God's word is different than the authority of government, we must willingly obey God's word. In situations where it does not conflict with the authority of God's word, we need to willingly submit to the government, because the government's authority, while we might think there's a lot of things they could do better, we do know that in situations where there is no government, things go downhill quickly. If there's a situation in which there's no police in Canada, some years ago they had a police strike, and it went to chaos very quickly. So even though a bad government is normally a whole lot better than no government at all, because people without authority over them, most people will quickly degenerate to lawlessness. And probably we would too if we didn't recognize God's final authority, that someday we're going to give an account. If we believe that we could do whatever we want and we never would have to pay any penalty for it, probably most of us would quickly digress to lawlessness. If we thought that nothing bad will happen to us, we can do whatever we want and nothing, we won't have to pay, probably most of us would soon find ourselves in a lawless situation. But it's because we have been taught all our lives that God will eventually require of us, and all other authority will eventually require of us for the wrong that we have done, that keeps us from becoming violent or whatever evil people. The fear of authority has a restraining force on all of us. We would like to think that we have matured to the place that we wouldn't have that tendency, but history proves in cases where people feel that there is nothing bad will happen to them for whatever they do, people tend to quickly degenerate to lawless people. I'd like to move on yet to the business structure, and I'd like to think first about the business structure. In the business structure, the owner of the business is the final authority on anything. The owner's the final authority. However, I would like to have you think about one thing. I own a farm, and the reason that I own a farm is because I have a paper from the government that says I own the farm. So if we look at ownership, the structure of ownership, it is the government that decrees that we own the material things around here. We understand that they're all blessings from God, but it is the government that finally gives us the right to own property. So if we look at business, we need to recognize that business comes under government. Without the government in civilized authorities, it is the government that decides who owns what. If we would have an overthrow of the government, if some other country came in and overthrew the government, if you look at other places in which there's been revolutions, suddenly people didn't own anything anymore. If you look at the Russian Revolution, if you've studied the Russian Mennonites living in Russia in the revolution in, I guess that was in the early 1900s, they suddenly didn't own anything. The government took it all away from them. So it is government that gives us ownership. So we need to recognize government's place in that, and we need to understand that the government does have some authority over the things we own, because they're the ones that say we own it. So increasingly, when we own property comes with a bunch of restrictions on it. If you go live far enough out back where you don't have neighbors, if you own property, you can do what you want with it, pretty much. Increasingly, here in Pennsylvania, if we own property, it comes with a lot of restrictions, what we can do and what we can't do. And sometimes we're pretty quick to think, well, it's none of their business. Well, to a degree, it is their business because they're the ones that say we own it. And if we do not recognize their authority, remember, if it wasn't for the authority of government, we soon don't know what we have. It's a government that prints out the titles to our vehicles. It's a government that prints out the driver's license that you use. It gives you the right to drive down the road. So all these things that are under the government give us the authority. If you have a driver's license, that gives you the authority to drive down the road. But it's the government that gives you that right. So as we look at all the material blessings around us, we need to recognize that they are controlled by the government. They're blessings of God, but they're controlled by the government. We need to give the government their rightful place in that. Looking at a few principles, Colossians 3:22. Colossians 3:22 says, "Servant, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." This is dealing with people that are in the workplace, in the business structure, and people that are working for someone else. And it is telling us first here that we are to obey our masters. It's our responsibility, if we're working for someone else, to obey them. We do things their way, but more than that, we are to obey them as representatives of God. See, when we're working for someone else, we are working for them in a physical sense, but yet we are working for God, and the way that we fulfill our duty when working for other people tells them something about the way we serve God. So when we are working for other people, we should be reflecting God and in all that we do. Again, if we're looking at the business structure, if you're working for someone that feels that it's okay to lie, that doesn't give you the right to lie, because we have a higher authority, and that is God's authority over us that requires that we do not, we may not lie. So regardless of what other authorities say, you know, if the government says it's all right to lie, does that give us the right to lie? Well, no, it doesn't, because God says that it is wrong to lie, and therefore if the government says it's okay to lie, that doesn't give us the authority to do that. But in our workplace, we are serving our masters, but we are also serving God in all that we do, and we're to do it as to God. I'd like to look at Proverbs 22:7. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." I don't know, maybe none of you have money borrowed, but I do. And it's common in our society to borrow money, but the Bible tells us that if we borrow money, we make ourselves servant to the people that we borrow money from. So that means if you're borrowing money from a banker, you become his servant. And we do well to remember that. We are to respect, if we're borrowing money, we are becoming a servant to that man, and that man has the right to tell us what to do. So if we're borrowing money for whatever reason, we should determine what that man wants us to do, and then we operate within those guidelines. If you're borrowing money for a business or for a house or for whatever, it is your duty to be completely honest with that man in what you're using the money for. If you know anything about the real estate crash in the United States in 2008, that was all about people lying and deceit. It was a widespread problem, and eventually it came to problem. But if we're borrowing money, we owe it to whoever we're borrowing money from that we're upfront with them in what we're using the money for. We're upfront with them in you know, if they have guidelines, if the bank has guidelines that you need to ask permission to spend more than a certain amount of money, we're servants of them. We do that. We're responsible to them. And we need to respect their place as our masters. We're not in charge over them. Now again, God's authority is over them. That if your banker is asking you to do something that is against God's higher authority, then of course you need to decline. For example, if your banker tells you that you need to have your business open on Sunday, you say, can't do that, because God's word, I'm a servant of God, and God's word tells us that we're to respect the Sabbath day or respect the Lord's day, and we won't do that. So we need to keep God's authority first. But in the situation in which we need to be completely honest with someone, with anyone that we're borrowing money from, we need to, if we can't make payments, it's important that we tell them that we can't make payments, and ask them what they think we should do, and that as much as possible we should do what they want us to do. Because finally, if we can't make payments, that puts them in the driver's seat. Generally the way banking laws work, as long as you made the agreed upon payments, you're pretty much a free man. If the day comes that you can't make payments, then you're a servant. I've read the verse tonight about owing no man anything but to love one another, something like that. And there are some people that are opposed to borrowing money. There's a lot of traps in borrowing money, because we are, in a sense, selling ourselves to someone else whenever we borrow money. We're becoming their servant, and we need to respect that, and we need to be careful who we sell ourselves servants to. So we're becoming servants whenever we borrow money, and we must take into account that we're now their servants, and now they have a right to tell us what to do. So if we're using their money in ways that they're not agreed with, well, then we're outside of their authority. We also have family authority. I'm not going to work very much on that, but remember that again, family authority is arranged by God. We have the husband, we have the wife, we have the children, and it's a structure. You probably hear more about the family authority structure than you do some of these other authority structures, but we do recognize that the family structure is a structure set up by God, and as long as we find ourselves in our proper place, we have the authority of God through us. I'd like to think just a little bit more about the authority that we get from those over us. We could think of perhaps a school teacher. A school teacher has authority over the students. But the school teacher has the authority over them, which is probably the school board. And at least in our church, the school board has authority over them, which is the church. And of course, a church has authority The church has authority, the authority structure of the church, as we talked about, the ministry and the bishop. It is authority structure that each is an authority that has been given by the authority above them. What I would like to point out is that any place in the line in which someone is not submissive to the authority over them, they begin to lose their authority to the people under them. If we have a school teacher that is not willing to listen to the school board, that greatly reduces that school teacher's authority in dealing with the students. Because the authority is handed down. The authority comes from God, and as long as everyone's in their proper place in the authority structure, we're giving the proper authority for the place that we fill. But as soon as we are unwilling to accept our place of authority, we are unwilling to accept the authority over us, it begins to diminish our authority to those under us. Because authority comes and it's interesting that the centurion that came to Jesus that wished for his son or his servant to be healed, he said, I am under authority. I'm a man in authority, under authority. He understood that he is getting authority from those over him, and those over him are giving him authority, and that authority is passed down to those under them. So if you feel that you are lacking authority for the position in which you are in, are you under the authority that is over you? So whenever we're unwilling to accept the authority that's over us, we cut our own authority for the duties that we've been given, the responsibility that we've been given. If we look at the authority structure, we see that in life, all of us will find ourselves probably sometime. There may be children here that don't have anyone under them. Sometimes we look at age as giving us a little bit of authority. That children, the older are, have just a little bit of authority over the younger ones. But in life, we will find that there's some that we have authority over. There's some that we are under their authority, and there's also many that we're equal. And if we look at the different authority structures, we will see, for example, in the government structure, I am at the very bottom of the government structure. I have no government authority, and I want to keep it that way because government authority quickly interferes with the work of the church because it's part of a different structure. So if we look at a government authority, I'm at the very bottom. I don't even vote. Voting is the first step in authority in a government. If you vote, then you have a little bit of authority because you're helping to put the people in position. But I'm at the very bottom. I don't vote, and I would encourage you not to vote. I suppose probably you don't vote, but. One of the things that as soon as we start voting, we start becoming part of that authority structure. Then if we look at different places, we find ourselves relating to people in different places because we, in some cases, we're over others in the authority structure. In other places, we're under others in the authority structure. And there can be situations in which we are under someone in one situation and over them in another. An example would be if we have a church leader that is working for one of the lay members in a church. In the church situation, he is authority over the brother. In the business situation, the brother's an authority over him. It all works if we understand our lines of authority and how it works. One of the things that we will find is that it is a whole lot easier to recognize the problems in the people that are our equals than it is the people that are under us. Here's why. When there's people under us and there's problems, they become our responsibility. And it's very easy to look at the people around us at a level on that are level with us and point out the problems in them, because they happen to be someone else's responsibility, at least to a degree. In a brotherhood, we have a responsibility to our brother. But one of the things that the tendency is in people to find faults where we're not responsible for them. In church life, I'm away from home now, but I have discovered that it is often easier, you know, if a minister recognizes that there is a problem in the church, that's a weight on him. He has to work on that. But it is very easy for people who are not in authority to point at the trouble. Well, something got to be done there. It's a whole lot easier for them to do that because it's not their responsibility. But they think someone ought to do something. Just looks a little different when they're the one that has to do something. So, if you are looking at relating to each other in church life, be careful about criticizing your equals. Same thing in the workplace. It is very easy for people to look at their co-workers and this co-worker's doing that wrong and the other co-workers aren't working for you, they're working for your boss. Now, if one of your co-workers is stealing from the boss, it's probably good that your boss knows that. But it's very easy to criticize all the other co-workers, where most likely what your boss would like you to do is focus on the situations in your own life where you need improvement. But instead of looking at the situations in my own life, the place where I need growth, we have this ability to look at our equals and point out where they should be doing better. You know, he's late for work and he does this and he does that. And maybe what the boss would like me to do is maybe I'm the one that abuses equipment. But I don't see that so clearly. I just see the fellow that's late for work in the morning and he's holding up the whole show because he doesn't get there. You understand what I'm saying? Be careful in the people that are your equals. In most cases are not your responsibility. Focus on the areas of which are your responsibility. And in most cases, whoever is responsible for the people that are your equals, well, they probably know where most of the problems are. But it's working with people. That's the way people are. It's very easy to see the faults in others because other people's faults that are mostly different than our faults. And our faults, we've lived with them all our lives and we got accustomed to our faults. But other people's faults, well, they're just different than they're different than ours, and so we see them. So if we are looking at somebody, the other thing, if we look at the authority structure, the closer you are to the problem, the more responsibility you have for it. For example, if you are the trustee of the church, any problem relating to the building, it actually is part, the whole congregation is responsible, but the fact that you're a trustee gives you the greater responsibility. The closer you are to it, the more responsibility you have for it. And we need to accept that. We need to accept that responsibility when we have a church structure in which various people are given various responsibilities. The ones that have been given to you, that is your first responsibility. It's yours first. And there may be times in which you're unable to handle it and need to spread it out to other people. But remember that the closer you are to it in the authority structure, the larger the responsibility comes to you. For a school teacher, the children in the schoolroom, if there's trouble in the schoolroom, the responsibility is first his, the problem's first his, and then it's the school boards and the parents and everyone else. But in the closer we are to the in the line of authority, the closer we are, the more responsibility we have for that situation. But in the event that it is more than what we can handle, then of course we have the authority structure, that we go up to the authority structure to get the resources we need for the situation. Well, I've used about enough time here. I preached this sermon at our church a couple weeks ago, and I titled it Stress-Free Living, because I'm of the opinion that a good part of people's stress in life comes from their unwillingness to accept the place that they have in the authority structure in church, business, government, you know, the whole way. We're living in this authority structure. The government gets to tell us how fast we can drive down the road, what we can do with our property, and all these things. And the sooner that we accept our place in the whole authority structure, the easier life will be. Because as long as we're bucking the authority structure, we're just making tension for ourselves in life. And as long as we're trying to pull a fast one over the banker, well, it isn't long till the banker doesn't trust us. And then, you know, we get a whole host of problems that come with that. So as we can find ourselves in the authority structure, if we're willing to accept our place in the authority structure and do what we've been called to do, fill our place, it just makes our lives a whole lot easier. So I hope that all of us can accept that God has decreed that there shall be authority structures, and in many cases we don't have a whole lot of option as to where we are in that structure. We simply through the events of life we find ourselves where we are, and we simply need to accept where we are and work with that. And if we're faithful, the Bible teaches that those who are faithful in little are eventually faithful in much. If you want to have authority, the thing to do is to be very faithful in where you are. And the time comes that you're given authority. We could look at the account of Joseph, in which he was sold into Egypt. He was a slave at the very, very, very bottom of all authority structures. And it didn't take long at all until he was second to top in Egypt because of his faithfulness. And there's still a need for faithful men today who will be faithful in the structure in which they are. And then God can use them for greater things. Let's kneel for prayer.